Well, before I introduce the bishop to you, I get to give you a little bit of my report. I want to thank those of you who prayed for me. If you were unaware, I had the privilege a couple of weeks ago of participating in the inauguration of the new president of Liberia. And it was an awesome experience. But it was an unbelievable experience. From the moment we touched down on the plane, all the Liberians on board spontaneously sang the Liberian national anthem as soon as the plane hit the ground, at the top of their lungs. It gave me goosebumps. It was really an unbelievable experience, and from a national's perspective, especially for some of the younger people in the nation, it might have been the greatest day of their life. They lined the streets with joy. It's 14 years of civil war. Almost 250,000 people slaughtered. And now they had hope. Hope of freedom. Hope of maybe a life, maybe a job. So it was a wonderful day. It was a surreal kind of experience with U.S. security presidents, since the president's wife was there, as you could imagine. Helicopters flying above and Secret Service everywhere. It was a little bit of a surreal experience around. But I want to tell you, it was a privilege to be a part of. The president's address was powerful. As far as we can tell, she is a strong believer, a brilliant woman, spoke very forcefully and personally, honestly, about all that's needed. You could pray for her. Her task is immense. There's no running water in the country, no electricity, no sanitation, 80% unemployment. It's just an unbelievable task that any person could do, along with all the fragileness of a third world country. Out of how many countries in the world, on the economic index, they're third from the last. And they were once a thriving, prosperous nation, the model in Africa. So pray for that. You could pray for her. But I just want you to know that, if I was a fan of Bishop Marwe before, now I am in awe of him. I will no longer address him, at least I'll try not to. It will be very hard for me not to address him as Gus, because I know him as Gus, and I've always introduced him to you as Gus. No one knows him in Liberia as Gus. He is the bishop. And I can't tell you if there's another more influential human being for God's kingdom that has ever lived in the nation. I don't know who he would be. We couldn't go anywhere. You should have saw it at the inauguration. Senators, clergymen, from the most distinguished people in all of the world, from opposing parties, would come to him with reverence and awe, in so appreciation that he was home, many thinking he was home for good. And then when we were on the streets, just people from the poor would run to him, asking for some time with him. They would bang on the window of our car, asking us to stop so that he could be with them, bring a word of encouragement. As you know, before the war, Gus had a television ministry that was very, very significant. And many, many, many people, it was their lifeblood of nourishment and spiritual food. So I'm just in awe of him now. And from now on, I will attempt to address him as Bishop Marwe, no longer as Gus, because I feel so privileged to know him and be a part of him. It was 14 years ago that I met the bishop at my Tuesday morning Bible study. And he's the reason for all of this. He instilled in me a love of Liberia and of Liberians. And he said, one day I'll be there in Liberia with him. I didn't know that day would be that soon. But I'm very, very excited. I had also the privilege of attending the funeral of maybe the most significant Liberian politician of his time. Dr. Romeo Horton, who was also on the board of AHEAD, wanted to die in Liberia. He didn't. He died in Philadelphia, where he had to flee after the war. But they flew his body back, and the service was there, a six-hour funeral. We don't know services. You're worried that I may be 2 minutes over. Gus gave the address at the funeral. After 4.5 hours, Gus spoke. 91 degrees, 97% humidity. It was quite an experience. But it was marvelous. The president was there. New president was there. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful. I felt so honored to be a part of that service as well, and got to speak at the evening before there. But I wanted to let you know I'm very, very excited about our future ministry in Liberia. Either next February or early March, I'm going to have the privilege of conducting a national pastors conference in Liberia. And I'm also going to take a team, and we're going to begin to work on rebuilding that agrotech community that Gus is so passionate about, establishing a school and a community where Liberians can be self-supporting and begin to be trained. And so very, very excited about that. Gus tells me 1,000 pastors will come. I don't know about that, but I'm very, very excited about future ministry and want you to be as well. So I'm over my 5 minutes, but I want you to hear from these gentlemen here are going to share with you. So without further ado, I want you to welcome Bishop Augustus Marwick.
I learned my Bible, okay. Thank you. God knows how to grant one, how to grant the desire of his children. I have longed for the day when Pastor Gary Vendorette will visit Liberia. And that day came, and he stepped his foot on the soil of Liberia. And I'm very deeply grateful for that. And this visit has paved the way for a greater ministry by him in Liberia. And I ask everyone here to remember that day when Pastor Gary Vendorette will go to Liberia to conduct a pastor's conference. Thank you, Gary, for what you have meant to me and my family and my nation, and for what this great church, Peninsula Bible Church, has done for Liberia and for my people. Thank you, each and every one of you, for your contribution to my country. I want to share an experience that I had in Liberia when we were there the last time. But first, I would like to read a passage of scripture. Psalm 13, verses 7 and 8. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifted the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with the princes, even with the princes of his people. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you, Father, for your love and compassion, for your mercy. I thank you for giving me the joy and the privilege, Father, to be with thee, your precious people, oh God. And as I speak, may thy Holy Spirit speak to the glory and honor of thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had a time with a man, an old man that was the governor of the cruise in Greenville, Sinal County. When I met with him, he said one thing over and over and over. He just couldn't get over it. He was awed. He was amazed. He said, "Manwe, who used to be on a motor road, and a motor road is a place where we went, the government of Liberia in those days wanted to build a road that vehicle could travel through, and they asked the natives of each tribe to send laborers to the road to make the road with shovels and diggers and rakes and wheelbarrows. Each town sent a certain amount of people. My family were required to send someone. And in my whole family, I was the only one that could work. My father was too old. My brother was captured and taken to a place called Johnson Barrack to go to school because no family in those days wanted to send their children to school. And I had to be on the motor road in this kind of place where we were treated like slaves. As we work, the soldiers beat us so that we could work faster and harder. It was a terrible experience. As this man said, all of them, when they went home, they went to the motor road when their term finished, and they went home. And they stayed several weeks or several months. When they come back, they will meet me there. And they will say, "What happened? Is there no other human being in shore? Every time we come to this motor road, this boy, Mawia, is still there." And so he just couldn't get over it. That a boy who nobody, for whom nobody expected something out of, to be able to be what he is today, that really astonished him. And it reminded me of what my God did for me. When I was nowhere, when there was no hope for me, when I was in the dust of the earth, when I was in the dunghill, The Almighty God made a choice to use me to be able to do what he had given me the joy to do for him, for my country. I'm grateful to God. If God could do it for me, he can do it for you. You could not be in a worse place, worse condition than I was when God took me out of it to use me. Whatever may be your problem today, I don't think will be bigger than the problem that I had. Whatever may be your condition and suffering today could not be like what I suffered as a boy. But God has a plan for you as he had a plan for me. I never knew, I never dreamed that when I was on that motor road working like a slave, when I would be beaten, I never dreamed that a day will come that I will find myself in the United States of America and that I will be part of a congregation like the Peninsula Bible Church. Oh God, thank you. I thank God for his love, for his kindness, for his mercy. And I want to thank you for your generosity in helping me to help my country. May God Almighty reward you greatly for what you have done for my people. The Board of Elders, those of you that are members of the Board of Elders that are here, I want to thank you. When Gareth Vedderab made an appeal to you for you to take me and my wife as your missionary, thank you for not turning his request down, for accepting me to be your missionary. My wife and I accepting us to be your missionary, and for supporting a college in a Liberian refugee camp to train Liberians so they will be able to rebuild their country. May God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for all that you have done for me and my country and people. God bless you. Now I want to introduce my son-in-law, a young man that God uniquely prepared to step into my shoe and to carry on the ministry that I had. As Jerry said, he is now the president of HEAD. It is my joy and pleasure to introduce to you my dear and precious son-in-law, Oxford James.
Good morning. I don't know if you ever got the feeling sometime when someone introduces you, you start to look around the room and wonder who you're speaking about. Wonder if I'm precious or he's trying to stay out of trouble with his daughter. It's a good morning to give thanks to our gracious Lord. It's how good and how pleasant it is to enter into his gates this morning, to shout praises to him for the good things he's done, for he is good. I ask your pardon as I savor the whole event. It's great to be here because Peninsula Bible Church Cupertino is sort of the mother of this AHEAD's vision. Years ago, I sat in the pew somewhere back there and watched as Pastor Gary Vandered and the Board of Elders commissioned my father-in-law and my mother-in-law to go to Accra, Ghana and begin this work in a refugee camp. I was excited. Spent some time learning from Bishop Mawia and decided to try this ministry thing, and I hope to give you a little bit more information about that later on. But you know the vision of AHEAD, and you know we've been to the refugee camp for years, and you know already that we plant, with your help, we've planted a college first ever in the history of refugee camps. You know that we've trained numbers, a huge number of people, thousands of people, and they've served in many areas and many walks of life. Thank you for giving. Thank you, PVCC, for partnering with this ministry of AHEAD, with people thousands of miles away that many of you will never see. But they feel your love daily. They'll feel your love when they experience some health care that they otherwise wouldn't have gotten. They know the face of Jesus when a little boy gets some food that he hasn't had in days. They experience the love of Christ when someone gets to read, learn to read, and gets their first Bible. I pray and wish you would get a chance to experience what it is when a little child learns to read the Bible for the first time. It's a huge event. It's a celebration. I want to take a brief moment and introduce two persons who from within your midst and have served on the board of directors of AHEAD, one for a while and one is fairly new. That didn't work. Okay. I want to introduce Brother Jeff Wirtz and Brother Fred C. and just ask them to share a little bit about their involvement with the ministry of AHEAD.
Thank you, Oscar. As you said, my name is Jeff Wirtz, and I've been attending PDC, starting in Palo Alto, since 1972. And in the summer of 2000, I was introduced personally to Gus and became involved with the ministry since that time. And God has done much in my life as God is working through Gus for the people of Liberia, seeing Gus's love of God primarily, his love for Liberians, and then also his love for particular Liberians that haven't yet heard the gospel. I grew up in the Midwest, and both of my parents were Christians, so I had easy access to the gospel and the Bible and good teaching all the time I grew up. But Gus sees the Liberians that are out in the part he calls the hinterland of Liberia who have not yet ever heard the gospel. And his deep, deep desire for them to have an opportunity to respond to the good news of Jesus, that's made a big impact on my life. And watching that has meant much to me. This date is important to me because exactly 3 years ago, I had a chance to go back to Ghana and Liberia. I was standing in Liberia at this very moment 3 years ago. Our oldest daughter went as well, and many other people from this congregation were there. And it was a remarkable experience. As Gary said, it was just so amazing to be there. It's very difficult to put into words the contrast between our life here and in Liberia. In the midst of so much deprivation and destruction that I saw, he'll show you some buildings up here in a few moments. The pictures he's showing you are the good ones. Most of the conditions were far worse than I saw, at least, in Monrovia. But in the midst of all the suffering and deprivation, all the ways in which the people of Liberia have been plundered, there was also an amazing joy, amazing receptivity to the gospel, an amazing desire to follow God and to worship Him. Their singing, their prayers, their worship, their giving were just remarkable. And that made a big impression on me. And that stayed with me for a long time. And that makes a main point, big impression on me, in the fact that whereas I grew up as a young child considering myself being one of the have-not people, I saw others in my neighborhood being able to do things and go places and have things that I couldn't have. So thinking of myself as a have-not, going to Liberia and then seeing what their condition is makes it more than obvious that I'm no longer a have-not. I'm a have. I'm one of the haves, and richly so. And I can't shake that impression from my mind. I'm on the other side of the coin now. And because of that, I want to live responsibly. I want to share one other thing. Gus has meant much to me, and knowing him, having him pray for me. But one particular experience stands out when I was at their home and Ophelia fixed a nice dinner for us in the afternoon. They were just talking between the two of them, and Gus probably doesn't even remember it, but they were talking about friends and relatives who were either sick or were dead or had been killed. And almost in the very same breath, they talked about their love for God, and they actually praised God. And to see that genuine desire to honor and genuine praise for God while being in the midst of so much suffering and death struck deeply to my heart, because in our family, my wife and I have been going through a number of significant distresses in our own family. And therefore, I felt justified in my resentment toward God and anger at Him toward the things that I was experiencing. But then to see Gus and Ophelia deal with death and sickness and so easily and freely praise God at the same time made a deep, deep impression. So I'm so grateful for that. And it has helped me to grow so much. Gus has prayed so much for our family. When he calls me and asks for help with computer problems, he always precedes that by asking about my wife and my children and what they're doing. And having his prayers for our family, especially through those times of distress, has meant so much. And thinking back now and thinking of what a different place we are than we used to be, I know in large part is due to the prayers of many people, but especially Gus too. So thank you so much for Gus, for caring for us, for loving us, for loving Liberians. And I guarantee that if you get a chance to know Gus, you will experience some of that love yourself. Thank you for listening.
Hi, my name is Fred C. and I attended the PBC for about 15 years. I first learned about Gus, I guess it's about a little bit deeper, when about 3 years ago, when we had a PBC men's retreat, I got a room with him. And through that experience, I learned about his power of prayer. It's just something you have to experience. You hear him speak, but when you see him say, when he pray for you, it's just totally different. It's amazing. Like all great men, I guess they don't brag about themselves. You have to find them. You have to find out from other sources what things he has done. And then this past year, last year, November, I had the chance to go to Liberia and see something. And while we're at Wombay, the Akrotech community, I got to hear, Bible study, some of the villagers over there, and they share about some of the things they went through. And then one thing strikes me that they share about that one man said, during the war, he was, the rebels shoot at him, they like shooting everybody. Then they shoot at him, he was jumping around all over the floor and they dodged the bullets. And when the rebel went away, he found himself still intact. But he found all those holes in his pants. But even in spite of that, something happens. After the war is over, when he attended school, he found the same rebel in the same classroom. He chose to forgive him. And so what he did was sit next to the rebel. But the rebel also recognized him, he remembered what he did. So the rebel next day, he moved another chair. So he decided to sit next to him and follow him. This went on for months. And finally, they become good friends. I think with this kind of forgiveness, this kind of power of forgiveness, this country have a lot of potential in the future. Having said that, and also the need is great. While we're there, we also seen that little girl, a lot of little kids, they're staring at us, and we couldn't figure out what it was. Turns out they want a little empty water bottle that we drink out. It's a prize for them, big reward. So having had three girls, I noticed that they're all boys. So I saved one for a girl, and one day I saw the girl with a sister in her back. So I gave it to her. And her eye glows. But then after a minute, she gave it to her sister behind her. My heart just melts when I see the love that, even with the poorest, they will share. And at the same trip, I also have something too, experience. I have chance to observe our President Oscar James over there and closely. And I see not only what he does, and then also see him in real action. And I can't help but notice that some of his true character shines through. His being selfless and the same many of the traits that I've seen in Gus. And if I see Gus as being the giant redwood, and I see this young sapling yearning after the papa to be same thing. And here's Oscar.
Thank you. Thanks, sir. I started off by saying it's good to come into the house of the Lord. There are so many things that the ministry of a head have been used by God to accomplish. You know a lot of them. We've shown PowerPoints here. We have documents and a little bit of an update in your bulletin board, in your bulletin. So I can spend a lot of time telling you again about the ministry up ahead. But I have selected not to do that. And I decided to tell you a little bit of a little story of a young man who left the Republic of Liberia on August 2nd of 1988. Dreams and aspiration of making it well in the United States of America. Mom and Dad packed him up and said, go, son, and we'll invest in you. You're probably doing a little better than the rest of your brothers over here, so go and take off. Well, you're looking at him. Well, I left Liberia and came to United States, landed in New York City, and was shocked. But God was with me, and I managed to work a full-time job and put myself through college while doing that. I went to school in the evenings and all odd hours, and God somehow helped the boss not to fire me when I slept on the job. Started to work after that, went back to school, and decided to get a master's and did that too, got an MBA, and said, this is great, now I'm going to live the American dream. Living in California, I played Chase the Girl because this girl decided that if I didn't move, she won't marry me. So I came to California. And it was a very good thing. She's probably the prettiest woman in the world. She is. I joke with the bishop a lot because it's his daughter. And he has three girls, and I say I married the prettiest one. But a lot of good things happened in my life, and God met me. I said to God, if you do this, I will serve you. Mind what you ask for. If you help me, I'll do it. And I did fairly well. Not wealthy, but I actually did well. I got a good job in the valley, and I was doing well. We bought a home. Well, we kind of rented it from the bank, but we. We bought a home out here, and two lovely children, jobs. My wife is an environmental chemist. I'm standing proud. Then God said, go. And I said, you must be kidding me. So I couldn't say no to God. So I said, I'm going to pull a trick on him. I said, let me try this ministry thing. So it was pretty cool, right? Because my father-in-law is heading this ministry up ahead, and I said, I can just sneak behind him. He's doing everything, and it would look like I'm doing the right thing here. Plus, it worked very well because my wife liked it. So it was cool. Well, I went in, and just like my career, shot right to the top, and all of a sudden, I'm on the board of directors. And I liked the thing. So I said, this is uncomforting, so I'm going to run away from this thing. I found the first opportunity, and I said, God, you said go. I'm gonna go away. So I took off and I walked away from it. Struggled for a while and asked God, what do you want with my life? And, heard about the 40-day purpose thing, heard about all these great things. But, it was good as long as someone else was doing it, right? God did something incredible. I kept working and trying to get ahead, and God just dug this big old God-shaped hole in my heart, and I just had this bug. And if you ever got this bug, God doesn't let go, and he bugs the daylights out of you, and you can't stop because something is missing. And the call kept coming to serve in ways, and I said, well, I'm not a pastor. I haven't been to seminary, and I haven't done all of these things. And then Bishop told me, well, you know, leave that to God and let Him deal with that piece of it. Well, it came to a point in my career that I couldn't bear it anymore. And I knew that God wanted something a lot more for my life than just working a job. I knew that God saved me from Liberia about 6 months before the Civil War broke out in many ways, because He wanted me to do something special. And I didn't know what it was, but I figured I'm going to try to figure this thing out. So I became involved again with the ministry, and this time I liked it again. And, well, I learned very quickly that when God creates that God-shaped hole in your heart, when you go closer to Him, He fills it, and there is magic. You do not hear the bugging anymore, and all of a sudden, you begin to live life because you're at the center of His will. Well, that's all good, but it requires some sacrifices, and we made some of those sacrifices. But what I'm here to share with you is that PVC Cupertino made a lot of sacrifices, and you invested in some people thousands of miles away that you probably would never see. And you decided to plant that seed in them, and you decided to win them for the Lord, and you decided to help these people, these Liberians. While doing that, I am the unintentional accident that happened, because you did not plan that, but your work and your gifts saved my life and gave me great fulfillment. So I'm here to say thank you. I'm here to say praise God for each and every one of you in here. Thank you, Pastor Gary Vanderette, for taking time with Bishop. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Fred. Thank you for lots of people that have partnered with us over the years and continue to in many other ways. Rich Robinson back there. Oh, just numbers of people that I can just call. Because your effort is this result. And now when God says go, I decided yes, because it makes sense. And not only does it make sense, it's cool. Not only is it cool, it's very rewarding. And my life has meaning. We stand at the gates right now in Liberia as we transitioned from war to peace. Peace that PVCC helped purchase, invested in peace talks and negotiations that led to this great peace accord. But I'm careful about what that means. Because in the book of Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, it says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you will not forget the things your eyes have seen. Remember what the Lord has done. So let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your children's children. This is my vision for the ministry up ahead as we venture into Liberia. We want to teach it to the children and the children's children so that never again will darkness prevail upon this nation. The darkness that can be cast only by Satan. God lives in that nation. God lives in His people. And as we march forward to reclaim this nation for the Lord, I urge you to join in with us. Participate with us, as you always have. The victory is the Lord's. How sweet it is to walk humbly before Him, never ever taking credit. Our God is able. Our God has delivered the people of Liberia from 14 plus years of civil war. He's delivered them from slaughter, and He's given them peace. And He's placed a song on their lips, and they're singing, and they hunger and thirst after righteousness. Thank you for giving so willingly of yourselves, your prayer, and of your finances to this great cause. May the Lord bless you, strengthen you, and multiply your efforts. Amen.